Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to The Phantom Files, a Sci-Fi Wire podcast about people who really, really love stuff. I'm Jordan Zachrin, the features editor here at Sci-Fi Wire, and today I am joined by royalty.
Hello. You may sit.
Thank you so much. I've been standing and doing this intro, so I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Guest today on the special edition of the podcast, the High King and Queen of Fillery, Hal Appelman and Summer Bischel, stars of The Magicians.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Very good. Very good. We're feeling regal.
You know? You look regal today.
Thank you.
People can't see it because it's a podcast.
Yes.
So you're in full gown.
But you should know.
Full regalia.
Yes. Now, you guys play Elliot and Margot on The Magicians. You're on a whirlwind bit of a tour to promote the third season, which starts on the 10th of January.
That's right. That's tomorrow.
Yeah, that's really exciting.
Set your TiVos. Do people still do that?
I think DVR.
TiVo's okay. The thing.
Oh, man.
What do you use?
I don't use
Netflix.
Like my computer, I think, is really my only watchable device in my life. iTunes, you guys Amazon,
you don't have
Netflix.
TVs?
No, I don't have a TV. Do you have a TV?
Yes.
I was gonna say, it's crazy to be on a TV show and just watch yourself on a laptop.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
It is. It's like, where's my big giant screen?
Yeah, I want my screening room.
With my face all over it.
Should get one in the castle.
Yes.
I'd just be playing it on a loop if I was on a TV show. I'd have a separate dedicated TV just for my scenes. I'd have a supercut or something.
Oh man, you are brave. You are one brave soul.
Do you watch the episodes of the show?
Yeah, we do. I mean, I do. I think we both do.
Oh, I always do.
I don't like repeat watch them though. I think once or twice is more than enough. Once for myself, and then if it's a live tweet situation, maybe it'll be on in the background. But I tend not to try to fixate on that because it's just, you know, it's out of your control and it's your face, and then you know you don't always want to look at that.
Well, you know, we are podcast for super fans, so there are a lot of people who watch this show over and over and over again, especially because it's. I mean, it's a fast-moving, complicated show. There's a lot to catch on The Magicians.
It is.
Repeat viewing is actually recommended. Yeah, actually, you know, I recommend it for fans, but for myself, I'm good.
When you read the script, do you have to, like, read it a bunch of times to kind of get what's going on?
I do. Yeah, I do. But I do that for any script, for any project I'm a part of.
Yeah.
But specifically, the plot does move quickly. Things change drastically, very quickly. And obviously you want to understand everything that's happening.
And why it's happening and why your character's making the decisions they're making and come up with a solid reason why for yourself so that you can make it believable and enjoyable for the fans.
When you first started the show, were you like, what the hell is going on? Because there's a lot very early on. Was it tough to really get into it?
Season one didn't move as quickly, I feel, as season two and three.
Hang on 1 second. I'm picking up the sound of the cup being
ripped. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't feel like season one moved as quickly as season two and three. I think the scripts in season three, there's a lot going on, and there's so many characters now, and there's just so much happening, which is great. It's great television, but from the perspective of an actor, I mean, you certainly do have to read the material quite a bit to grasp everything.
And season one was also an especially slow burn for our characters, respectively, and so I think. You know, for us, we really teamed up about crafting each moment that we did have on screen and you know, trying our best to make it memorable and or, you know, a potent moment for the characters because we were trying to build something long-lasting with the hopes that the show would, you know, eventually continue. And you know, we're lucky enough that it did and we got to really build out those characters that we started with. But I think no small character is... Anyway, you know the old saying, there are no small parts, only small actors or whatever. But I mean,
yes,
it's true.
Actors.
And in a sense, you know, when you come into play, even just a few lines in an episode, you're wanting to think about who that person is on the inside and out. So that's the kind of stuff that we think about together.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned season one, and you know, fans got really attached to these characters pretty immediately. And we put a call out for fans to ask questions of you guys. Mm. And they definitely complied. I know, Summer, you saw a few of them on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah. I try to get back to everybody.
That's impressive. You got a lot going on.
I try to like everyone's tweet, but I have a social media rash. Like, it's hard for me to really... So if you're listening to this, I'm sorry if I haven't answered your questions or anything. Just, I can only handle so much of it, and then I need to go hibernate.
No, I don't blame you. You're lucky that you can do that. You know,
I choose to.
Well, people, they want to know different things about your characters. They want to know, you know, Elliot is a bit of a drinker.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you, first season, you played drunk a lot.
Yeah.
Was that difficult?
Hopefully not played the drunk too much. I mean, you know, yeah, you know, they, you know, in acting class, they teach you to not play the drunk, but to play the person retaining their control over their body. So holding it together at all costs is sort of what you have to remember when you're, you know, playing a total booze hound like Elliot.
So it's like when you're buzzed and you're trying to keep it straight and talk to people and you're like in your head, everything's kind of fuzzy, but...
Yeah, and that along with, you know, on our show, there's a lot of, you know, it's TV and there's a lot of marks that you have to hit and then punchlines and stuff like that. So there was a lot of technical aspects that went into the holding Elliot's shit together. You know, it's like Hale holding his actor shit together, you know, so it all maybe dovetailed into one thing. Hopefully it worked.
Well, you're, not that I thought you were drunk on set, but you were good at it. You were good at giving off that boozy vibe.
Yeah, you know. maybe I have a boozy vibe. I don't really drink, but...
You don't have a boozy vibe.
No?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, then it's great acting.
Hey, thanks.
No, people want to know how your lives have changed since you got this show. I mean, you have a lot of Twitter followers now, for example.
Yeah.
How else has your lives in real life changed?
Well, I can pay my rent for one. I mean, yeah. I was struggling financially and you know, doing a lot of service jobs and stuff like that. So, which, you know, God bless. But, and I, you know, thankful for that. But, yeah, it's nice to not have to, you know, rub two pennies together to start a fire anymore.
Does that work?
No.
Damn.
Don't try that at home, kids.
Similar ways. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm grateful for it. It's been a long running show. I mean, we just finished our season three. So, I mean, you're lucky if your pilot gets picked up nowadays. So many shows are made that never make it to air, and I've certainly been a part of those shows. So it's a real privilege to be a part of something that people continue to want to watch and that has grown as it's been on the air. I mean, that's exceptional.
Yeah. And I think the
rare.
Show, yeah, continues to find itself, you know.
Yeah, our audience is growing and expanding, not shrinking. So, yeah, it's exposed us to a lot more of the fan culture. And
sure.
I enjoy that. I enjoy social media, and I enjoy partaking in those conversations with the fans of the show, and it keeps me motivated a lot of times. I mean, we have some early calls and
I would agree with that. But, you know, not to completely contradict my earlier statement, but the fan interaction and some of the fan outreach has been some of the most important and loving.
Yeah.
Changes in the last few years. A lot of them take these characters very seriously personally and are protective of them, and I think that there's a lot of at stake there, and I have had several interactions with fans who have reached out privately to me to express certain feelings or certain fears, and it's been important to help just, you know, instill them with you know, support and confidence. And I think Elliot is, for a certain number of people, a character whom they can relate and identify with on a very, you know, deep level, and that means the world to me. And you know, I think it's important for there to be a queer hero on a fantasy genre show. I certainly didn't grow up with that, and a lot of these fans didn't either, and so. It means something special to them, and if I am a part of that in any way, I'm proud of that.
Yeah, I mean, when you are at Comic-Con or whatnot, I'm sure a lot of people come up to you and mm-hmm. talk to you about it, you know, whether they're maybe dressed as you or your characters.
Yeah.
And to hear those messages in person or on Twitter must be really sort of get you going for the next day, for the next shoot.
Definitely. We have some really, you know, true blue fans who, you know. And when we go to Comic-Con, we get that rush of energy, and we're up there shooting for 6 months, and we're kind of working in a vacuum. You know, we see the same people every day for so long, and to take a break from that and really see the effect that it's had on a certain number of people is really, you know, it's
for me too. When I was cast in this, you know, when I auditioned for it, I was 26, and this was 4 years ago that I auditioned for the pilot. I mean, I could be wrong.
You could be right.
But a lot's changed in the industry in those 3 years. And when I auditioned for it, it was hard for women of my ethnicity to find roles that lived outside of stereotypes. And roles like Margot were always characters I wanted to play, but that I was never seen appropriate for playing. And so it's changed, you know, the types of roles that I can be seen for now. And I think it's important to have women of color in these types of roles, like Margot is. She's a woman in power, and she's emancipated of ethnic stereotypes and limitations and barriers that a lot of television shows sort of placed on us years ago. And like I said, things are changing now, but it was a huge achievement for me personally to book a role like Margot.
I imagine a lot of people come to you and say that as well, like it's an inspiring thing or shows them that they can do the same thing.
Yeah, I think, and it's not even something that needs to be said or talked about. It just needs to be seen, you know? Had I seen a girl of my ethnicity playing a role like Margot 10 years ago, it would have given me a lot of courage, and I would have had faith that I would find the kind of work that I wanted to find. I think it's important.
I second that.
So when you get, you know, people tweet at you, they probably talk to you on Instagram. Do you get a lot of fan art? They send it to you?
We do.
Yeah.
We get a tremendous amount.
We have the most amazing fan art. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of it is not safe for work.
This is an audio.
Z_PICT. Love you if you're listening. Really dedicated, really graphic, really beautiful. there are volumes out there. Yeah.
What I love about the fan art is I see girls of all shapes and sizes and ages and ethnicities dressing like Margot, and I love that because I always correct anybody who says, "Oh, you play such a sexually charged character or such a sexy character," and I don't think that it's that. I think it's bigger than that. I think she is Margot is so thoroughly in her skin
and her power.
And in her power, and so emancipated from the idea of shame and the culture of silence, that anybody can sort of imagine themselves as her. It's not a typical sexy construct character. It's just a courageous, brave woman. And
with a hilarious mouth.
And a lot of times my wardrobe is absolutely fabulous, but it's not that overtly sexy. She's never showing that much skin, which is important to me. But she still looks powerful, and she still looks in her skin. And I still feel powerful when I'm in her wardrobe. But if you really pay attention to it, as colorful and as vibrant as it is, it's not fetishizing of her sexuality or of her womanhood. It celebrates it in a real feminist way, I think. And I love to see the women dress up as her.
And it's such a badass character, too, who's running around Fillory trying to restore magic. And
she has so many badass moments this season. It's crazy. Yeah.
And so it'd be strange. You know? It would look really out of place to be in that sort of costume.
To be sexualized and all of that. And it's definitely more interesting than that. And I've you know, that's been really important to me throughout my career, but specifically even for Margo, because it's got to be more interesting than that.
Similarly, for Elliot, you know, he could easily be written off as, you know, just a witty queen or just another witty queen. And I love a witty queen. There's, you know, mm-hmm. an obvious need for, you know, the levity of that archetype. But I think that what I love about playing Elliot as well is that there are cracks to his facade and that he explores a kind of vulnerability that we aren't used to being seen from that trope. And he as well has a position of power and ultimately is a kind of surprising anti-hero. He sort of is this heroic underdog. You don't really see him wielding a sword and leading a battle or ruling a kingdom when you meet him, but he possesses that confidence within him somewhere, and that there are just many layers to his persona, and I appreciate that about the character Lev Grossman created and, you know, the different storylines and journeys that John McNamara and Sarah Gamble write for him. There's always room to expand and explore his character in new ways.
And he's a father, too.
And he's a father.
People want to know. That's one of the questions we got. How has that changed, and how will that change Elliot throughout the show?
I think that it opens him up to more of a vulnerability that he, in true Elliot fashion, doesn't necessarily want to confront but is forced to in the most dire circumstances. So you'll see over the season how his relationship with his daughter, who you'll meet, will evolve or not evolve, how he'll have to come to terms with that or let it go. And I think his relationship with Fen is an obstacle to his own freedom. I think that that's interesting, and I think that also he's ready to be rid of it, but is sort of stuck in that place and having to navigate this quest alongside her, and she's losing her marbles because she's so she's been cracked by this baby kidnapping. Anyway, that's a lot. That's a mouthful.
That's a nice tease for season 3.
Yeah,
which starts Wednesday night. So last question: what does the cast do in its off time when you're up there shooting for all that time?
Mario Kart.
Mario Kart.
Mario Kart.
Mario Kart.
To be honest,
just Mario Kart.
Yeah, once it starts raining, there's a lot of Mario Kart.
Right. Yeah, it's Vancouver, you know, lots of beauty, lots of natural beauty.
But you skip that to play Mario Kart.
I don't think these things are mutually exclusive. Yeah.
Half the time we're in an enchanted forest, so our work is to see the natural beauty, and then we got to go play Mario Kart.
Vancouver is one of the more beautiful cities I've ever seen, places I've ever been. And so it's really, we get it at the best months of the year. So it's nice. You got a good deal.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Well, I'll let you guys go. Thanks so much. The show is coming back Wednesday night on the 10th, guys. Good luck with the rest of the season.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.